Let's get to our guest, Chuck Cumelo, President and CEO at Essex Financial Services. Chuck, you may have seen the comments from the former New York Fed President, William Dudley. He told Bloomberg that optimistic markets could only make the central bank tighten even more. So I have a question for you, RE, those comments. Does the stock market cause inflation? You know, when you have an illness, you don't cure the symptoms, you cure the disease. And markets are kind of the symptoms of people's gauging of how the Fed is dealing with inflation. It's inflation that's the disease, right? Not the markets. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you so much for having me. I do not think the market causes inflation. I think the market and excess returns, especially in such a low/free money environment, led to what we're dealing with right now, and throw in, you know, the government literally, you know, throwing money at people. But the market is always sort of a symptom of where, or an indicator of where the economy is, where sort of the average person thinks and feels. And, you know, when that's euphoric, you have people sort of spending, and the old example of the roaring 20s type environment. But I do not think the stock market causes inflation. I think Milton Friedman said it best, you know, inflation is always a monetary phenomenon.
Thank you.
Wise words, of course, yes. Not at all a tautology. Anyway, Chuck, what about the whole notion here also that, you know, if you go looking for trouble in statistics, you're going to find it somewhere or the other. Now, the point being that, you know, Brian and I interview so many people that depending where you're coming from, you know, and what you believe in, you'll find something to back it up. Now, you know, you may be looking very strange high-frequency data, which really reinforces your point. Another person might actually poo-poo that. How do you look at data yourself, Chuck, and what are you seeing?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you can always find something to buttress any particular argument you're looking to make, especially nowadays. But I think where the best advisors, and where I would certainly think our firm does well by our clients, is trying to cut through the noise, right? I mean, it's always noisiest at the extremes. And that's where all the attention gets. It's dull and boring towards the middle, but that's where most people are. And I think that's what the type of advice they want to hear from a trusted advisor. So it's really trying to be objective and focus on the things that drives the market. And what are the most important things driving the market? Historically, always earnings, interest rates, and obviously geopolitical events and things going on in the world. But I think if we can try to navigate those and give our best estimates of what we think is going to happen, how we can position client portfolios for those things, then at least you're in the right ballpark. You know, nobody's a magician. Nobody can foretell the future. None of us can time the market. It's just a matter of trying to gauge what is out there, cut through the noise, cut through, quite honestly, the hype that's out there, and trying to boil it down to the things that we can then explain to our clients that helps them navigate, and especially this year, an extremely challenging year where literally nothing is working. And so that really is where a true financial professional earns his or her money.
We understand the Fed's predicament. It's really trying to figure out, you know, what is the cause of wages being as high and moving up as much as they have. They've been going up now for the past 18 months. So my question for you is the same one that they're wrestling with. Is it a one-time bump because of the pandemic, or is there some kind of structural thing that suggests a feedback loop, which means you're going to have prices and wages driving each other up, and then you've got a real problem?
You do. Listen, and I think the wage side of this is the biggest issue right now. I mean, goods, commodities, you're starting to see that kind of stuff roll over, and you're seeing it in the CPI data. But the wage inflation is the big challenge. And look, it's sticky, and it's, you know, the average hourly earnings month over month are up across every industry. But I think one of the really just confounding things is that the labor force participation rate is still below pre-COVID levels and actually dropped in November, meaning there are less people looking for work, less people in the workforce, which again puts upward pressure on wages, whether that's hiring new people or increasing the compensation of the people that you most certainly don't want to lose. I wish I had the answer for where these folks are, but the U.S. consumer is critical to the U.S. economy, two-thirds being of their actions drive the U.S. economy, and there are cracks there. Your credit card debt is back above pre-COVID levels, and the U.S. savings rate for the average consumer is at the lowest point at 2.1%, and that goes back to July of 2005. Right now, in October, we were at 2.3%. So there are cracks there, and it is concerning.
So what are you recommending? What are you buying? What are you staying clear of?
Well, so I think what I'm not sure I'm going to be breaking any new ground here, but I think, you know, technology in any type of company that needs external funding and is not going to be profitable till God knows when is something that I think you have to be very, very careful of. Where we are spending time, so listen, I think where rates are, some fixed income is becoming pretty interesting, especially in the municipal market. On the equity side, I've mentioned this before, you know, strong free cash flow, strong balance sheet, dividend growers, the dividend aristocrat type stocks. That type of, dividend yield of 2-4% when you can get it really helps offset the sell-off we're having in this market to some extent. And in this kind of market, the factor that dividends play in long-term total return of an equity portfolio are huge.
Yeah, I don't know how you know, though, that the dividends won't get cut unless you really know the management. I suppose you look at the history and the kind of culture of the company. That's very important. Look, we don't have all that much time left, Chuck. Let's pivot quickly to Asia. Anything that you like at the moment, either in China, Hong Kong, or somewhere else in this region?
Boy, not particularly. I mean, I think, China is going to be going through a heck of a time, in my opinion, for the next few weeks, it's a month or two as they open up. And, people forget, that even their elderly population is not vaccinated to the extent, anywhere near the extent of the United States or Europe or other places in the world. So, I think the intent there is solid, but I think you're looking at some pretty scary times there. And at this point, I think there's a lot other more compelling opportunities for the average investor. Institutional money, things of that nature, sure. But for the average investor in the United States, I would maybe rather buy Merck or Johnson & Johnson before I'd be going and looking overseas.
Very quickly, bonds still worth a punt? Short-term duration?
I'm sorry?
Bonds, sovereign bonds.
Certainly in fixed income, we are looking, because if you think about where we are, right, eventually, we don't know when the Fed eventually does cut rates, if you're a little bit further out on the curve and you're a little further in duration, you're going to reap the benefit of that rather than staying short, which is very, very overbought. And municipals in particular, I think, provide a pretty compelling value.
Yeah, excellent, Chuck. Thank you very much for joining us. We always enjoy having you on the program. Chuck Comello, President and CEO at Essex Financial Services.